Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here with my friend in hockey, Bruce McCurdy. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you?
Good. I'm always a lot better after the Oilers win. Yeah, that was a particularly satisfying win on a number of levels.
Yes, it was.
Great to beat a division rival. They've clawed back within one game of real 500. They're now 10 wins and 11 losses. And big win for, of course, Ken Hitchcock. And I was really happy with the play of Mikko Koskinen. Mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, the San Jose had 12 grade A scoring chances to 10 for the Oilers. And the Oilers got better goaltending on the night and they won the game. And that was a big part of it.
Often the difference.
It sure is, isn't it? Man, it is such a deciding factor. So we're going to do our two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast. Bruce, what is your good thing?
Okay, well, my good thing is the Oilers in overtime. My goodness. they played five overtime games this year. I think the five games total have run a total of 6 minutes. Like, they've all been over quick. Draisaitl and McDavid have played five shifts, I think one in each of those games. They started the overtime in each of those games. And I never got back on the ice for a second shift. And in those five games, McDavid and Draisaitl each have 3 points. And the Oilers, of course, won all three of those games, with each of those goals happening in the first 1 minute of overtime. They scored after 37 seconds against Boston, after 53 seconds in Chicago, after 51 seconds tonight. And tonight, as an example, they actually lost the possession. Draisaitl was owned by Pavelski in the circle all night. But around the 22nd mark, Leon took a pass behind the net out of the air, knocked it down and controlled it, which is something he's really good at. And from there, the puck went from Leon to Connor to Leon to Connor to Leon to Connor to Leon and into the net. And Klefbom was an eyewitness, had a great view of the play, but he never actually touched the puck. It was just the two of them. And in fact, all three of those overtime goals was just the two of them. Twice it was Draisaitl from McDavid. The other time it was McDavid from Draisaitl. No second assists on any of them. It's just a two-man wrecking crew. And they're pretty close to unstoppable. Usually it's a beautiful goal. And tonight would have been Leon's threaded pass through the defenseman's skate that sent Connor in was gorgeous. And then the guy hacked McDavid, not that the ref would ever notice in this game. And so McDavid couldn't get a shot away, but then he got the centering pass back and it bounced. The Oilers actually did get a lucky bounce off of Leon's skate, but it was from getting the puck into good position literally the two guys took it 200 feet.
The Oilers never get any calls from the refs. It's just ridiculous.
Not in California, man. You might as well be sending into a black hole expecting any call. They had 11 seconds of power play tonight. So I'm interested in your analysis of Hitchcock's new power play structure, David.
Yet to be seen. All right. So, it was. My good thing, Bruce, was so the one major tactical difference or line difference was Milan Lucic was finally. Now, you could say he was on the fourth line because he was with two fourth liners, Brodziak and Kassian. They were used more third line minutes. So let's say the third line. But really, the key thing is he's not with skilled players anymore. He's with a line that was expected to grind it out, check hard, and grind it out and check hard. And that's it. He's not expected to make fancy plays to players moving at speed because he is completely unable to make that kind of play. We've known this for a long time. And this is something McClellan never did, Bruce, once, was move Lucic down to play with the grind line, the fourth line players. And he looked good. It was, you know, there was some accountability there saying, no, that's not who you are. And Hitchcock talked about after the game how Lucic has thought way too much, talked way too much about not scoring goals, and he's just got to focus on playing his game. And what a clear way to send that message by playing him with players who aren't expected to score goals or put up points, but are just expected to grind it out and get offensive zone time. And that's exactly what they did. There was one bad moment or a couple bad moments or once where Kassian got cute at the blue line and didn't dump it in and went the other way, and There was a few scary moments with that line out there, but otherwise they were pretty dominant in the play. They kept it in the offensive zone quite a bit. And that was an excellent move by the coach, and good to see Lucic respond to it, and hope to see more of that.
Yeah, I had the same reaction as you. I thought, oh, look, he put him on the fourth line because, as you say, Brodziak and Cassian have been fourth line all year. But then I looked at the makeup of the bottom six with Ratty and Kara and young Marody on the other line, and I said very early on to my wife that I thought that the Brodziak line would get third line minutes, and in fact they did, with between 11 and 13 minutes each. And Lucic, he played 11:25 tonight, which was actually 10th among Edmonton forwards. Kara was slightly ahead of him because of penalty kill time. And but the fourth liners each played under 10 minutes in regular strength. And I say the Brodziak line was closer to 12 or 13. And Lucic, in his time on the ice, the shots on net were 4-2. Edmonton. So very low event, but that's actually a good thing. I mean, high events when Lucic is on the ice are generally bad events. It's been my experience lately. So we'll take a night where his official stats included 2 shots, both on goal, 4 hits, 1 takeaway, and absolutely nothing negative. No giveaways, no, you know, missed shots, no penalties. You know, it was just a low event, solid game from the big man, and really fit in well. That line stuck with the puck nicely.
Bruce, that's probably the lowest amount of minutes that Lucic has played for the Oilers in a game since he came to Edmonton. That's exactly the right amount of ice time for that player right now. Is about 11 to 12 minutes a game, mm-hmm. not more than that. And just try to cycle the puck in the offensive end, and he can help and, you know, be a physical presence when that is needed. Bruce, what is your what's your bad thing?
Well, you know, the way the game started, very first minute of play, second line comes out, and here we go again, defensive zone faceoff. This is, by my count, at least 5, and I might have missed one, at least 5 goals against off of defensive zone faceoffs in the last 8 games. And normally that's a pretty rare event, as you know, tracking scoring chances, but this year it's been lose a face-off, and then completely lose all semblance of structure and coverage in the defensive zone. Sure enough, it happened here. The puck went back to the point. It looked like Nurse and Russell were on 2 different playbooks. One of them was playing zone. One of them was playing man. And what wound up happening was Nurse checked up, and he looked up to see where the shot was coming from. And meantime, his man, Jonas Donskoy, just pulled away from him and went to the front of the net, picked up the admittedly very ugly rebound that cost him and punted
Bruce,
out into
that shot was deflected by Russell.
Yeah, something happened to it.
That shot was, if you look at the replay, I think, because I watched it a number of times, and it's clear that it suddenly takes a drop. It hits Russell, takes a drop. So the rebound from, I thought initially Koskinen.
Was it uncontrollable in your?
Oh yeah. If it gets deflected that close to the net, you just got to make the save.
Yeah.
And that's not on. I thought it was on Koskinen initially, but it not having watched it, definitely changed direction. And the only player it could have hit was Russell. It looked like it did.
Let's call it an ugly looking rebound, but the fact remains that Nurse didn't stay with his man. He wound up all alone in front of the net, literally 4 seconds off the faceoff. You got an opponent alone with the puck 5 feet in front of the net with nobody near him. I mean, something has gone badly awry when that happened. And like I say, at least Hitchcock got a quick and early look at some of the problems that have been plaguing the Oilers. And when your first view of the new coach is him glumly looking down, you know, this new view of the coach looking down at the monitor that's on the floor behind the bench. Yeah. I don't know how many times he's seen McClellan doing that. And for whatever reason, they always zero in on the coach that has been scored against, never the one that just whose team just scored. And he's always glumly staring down at the replay, trying to figure out what the hell happened. And a lot happened in a very short period of time for that to go wrong. And really, you know, Edmonton was skating uphill for much of the night. 3 times they fell behind, but you know, to their credit, 3 times they clawed back and got themselves back on level terms. So, but that way it started was very unpromising.
Well, my bad thing is going to be the same thing plus the second scoring chance shot. Mm-hmm. San Jose scored on their first two scoring chance shots. So this was a very Talbot-like game in a lot of ways for Koskinen. And in terms of how it started, first two scoring chance shots go in. I didn't actually think he was at fault on either one of them. The one, like I say, was a rebound, a wicked deflection. Stopped the first one and it bounces to the guy. And then the next one, I think, was the pass out with, fast pass out from behind the net. And absolute picks the corner on the one-timer shot. Thornton to Sorensen, that was the goal.
Right.
And
really picked his shot and made it.
And it was a one-timer shot moving, up to down. That's a very hard shot to take. Anytime there's a one-timer shot where there's movement of the puck and you're in that tight, that's a very tough shot. But nonetheless, two goals on two chances, Bruce. So that's a bad thing. And we've seen that all too often with the Oilers, mainly with Talbot. But the difference is the next 10 grade A shots on net, Koskinen stopped. That was his last. Well, he did let it. Excuse me. He let in the one more goal where Larson missed the play quite spectacularly. I thought I was watching a Bantam hockey game when I saw that play. Failure to block the guy. That was another.
That was a bit of a bad sequence. First of all, I mean, they were out for a long shift. I haven't looked it up, but I'm sure Larson was probably out for a minute or longer. And Klefbom had the puck just outside the San Jose blue line, and he couldn't get it deep. And then he
How could he not get that deep? Did it hit the raft? Like, what did he do? No, like, how did that not get deep?
He just flubbed it. And then he meandered to the bench for the change, and then Nurse didn't get up, like there was a 1 second lag before Nurse came out, and then he never could get back into play. So when Larson did get burned one-on-one by, a very nice move by Couture, credit where due, there was no support. There was nobody cutting off the lane or anything like that. So Couture was just able to move right in. Coming as it did right, very late in the period to give the Sharks a one goal lead again, it felt like a death blow, but
sure did.
They got it back.
Bruce, what was your number? What's your number?
Well, I'm going to go with the number 8 tonight, and that is the number of assists and points that have been scored by Adam Larson, Edmonton's supposed defensive defenseman, who's now tied for the team lead in points on the blue line, tied with his partner, Oscar Klefbom, who also has 0 goals. I mean, the whole first pairing hasn't scored, but they each have 8 assists. But kind of the cool thing here, or uncool, depending which guy you're considering, even strength ice time, 4:15 minutes to 4:10, almost the same. Shorthanded ice time, 42 minutes to 43, almost the same. Power play ice time, 80 minutes for Klefbom, 1 minute and 44 seconds for Larson. So you'd expect there to be a nice big gap there with Klefbom having a bunch of points. And in fact, he does have 3 points on the power play, but Larson's got 8 points of even strength. Tonight's wasn't necessarily the prettiest. He kind of bounced the pass through. He was kind of lucky.
Oh, that was a nice play.
But it was a good play, yeah. I mean, he saw the pass. He had to be lucky, I think, for the puck to bounce over the one guy's stick and come down on Draisaitl's. And then they finished it off from there. But he's of the 8 assists, David, I would say probably a good 6 of them were real nice plays by Larson. It's not like sort of rote plays way back in his own end where, he passes to his partner and his partner hits McDavid for the goal. It's been Larson making good long stretch passes or good plays inside the blue line. And
he's more of a heads up player than Klefbom, Bruce. I think he's going. When Larson has the puck, he has his eyes up and he's looking. Klefbom's not as much like that. He's made up his mind what he's going to do and goes for it. And I think Larson's got a higher hockey IQ than Klefbom does. And
Klefbom's got better hands, I would say, but
better skills. Yeah,
Larson has. I think he has and I've been saying this all along, there's some offense there to be uncovered. Well, anyway, at this moment, he's on pace for 30 points.
There you go.
Very nice for a guy who never plays power play.
So my number is 1.
Oh, that's a good number.
That's the number of even strength chances scored by a line other than the McDavid line.
That's a bad number.
Yeah, so we have the same old problem, right? Like if you have McDavid and Drysdale in the same line, you got one line. Fortunately, that line came through tonight. That's not going to happen every night. And man, all three other lines actually had really good moments. I like Cooper Marody. I think he makes good plays with the puck. And I don't see a problem with him being on the ice and getting some playing time. I think he can play. We'll see what happens there. Nugent Hopkins, Chiasson, and Spooner looked like maybe something might happen, but it's yet to happen. So this is the thing, Bruce. We look like we're a winger, a scoring winger, and an offensive defenseman away from being a decent team still. And that was highlighted tonight by this just one scoring chance. That was Brodziak who got a shot. And it's not going to cut it. You know, one good scoring line and good goaltending, you know, one excellent scoring line and good, great goaltending might actually get you in the playoffs in the NHL. The other lines can kind of hold their own. But you got to get the great goaltending. You have to get the other lines holding their own, and you have to get that scoring line scoring. It's just not a recipe for success. And they got away with it tonight, I think. San Jose was I think was a slightly better team, but the Oilers won the game. But we'll see. It's the drama unfolds. The story unfolds.
Well, the stacked line is becoming more of the way of doing business in the NHL. I mean, we see it. We've certainly seen it in Boston for a while. We've seen it now in Colorado, where they got their three best players all on the first line. Edmonton, they're not. If Edmonton really stacked their lines to the degree that Boston and Colorado do, they'd have Nuge up there with David and Draisaitl. At least they've got him playing on his own line, but it's a tall order for him. I mean, to my view, he's playing with two bottom six wingers, and they're playing in the top six role. So that's really heaping the pressure on the center. It doesn't matter if it's Nuge or Draisaitl. It's a tall order for those guys just to, you know, even to saw off. Thankfully, tonight Nuge came through with a beauty on the shorthanded that tied the game up.
Yeah, did he ever.
Him and Brodziak clicked nicely. That was a pretty goal. And that was the only secondary offense Oilers got was a shorty.
Yeah, some great performances. I mean, Draisaitl was hitting and skating like crazy. I mean, I don't think I've seen Draisaitl play that physical all year long, Bruce. It's the truth. He was really a force out there. And
I've seen a couple games where he, you know, I love it when Leon gets going because he's an absolute force. Yeah. When he starts to bring the physical game, like then the other team has no answer for the guy. And, you know, he brought some of that on Saturday night against Calgary. You know, he took the penalties, but there's a lovely piece of video somebody put up on Twitter of Leon decking Matt Tkachuk four different times in the game. And each time it was Tkachuk taking a run at Leon, and Leon just seeing him coming and stiffening up and just bouncing him to the ice. I mean, the one was the one where he got the penalty for taking him down, but the other three were just the old Yaroslav Pozar. Hey, you want to pit and bounce off me? Go right ahead. So he's got he does have that, you know, that beast mode. When he jacks it up into beast mode, he is an absolute force. Because often when he does the skating, and the whole intensity level ramps right up with it. And I just want to hopefully Hitchcock can unlock that in him more frequently, and, you know, and convince him this is a player you need to be on a nightly basis to really impose yourself in this league. So, I mean, you don't want to see him like landing 50 hits a game or anything. It's not about that, but you do want to see him not just taking the hits and protecting the puck as he's always done well, but dishing out the odd one, picking his spots and cranking somebody once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Play the old Phil Esposito 1972 game. All right. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Back to the game grades I go at 1 o'clock. I'm all the way up to number 5, Kevin Gravel, so I got a little ways to go, but it'll be up eventually.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.